Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Good morning, but let's pray, jump right into this. Father, thank you for what you've done already through an open heaven of worship. Thank you for what you're about to do to and through the Word, through the eyes of the believer and the hearts of those ready to receive this morning. God, we give you glory in everything that's said and done. Everybody say in Jesus' name, amen. All right, want to welcome you to part four of a series we've been in over the last month or so, and probably got at least one more, maybe two, I don't know. Literally, you could preach years on the kingdom of God. Amen? And if you haven't been here, you can go back and watch the different series or the whole series on, you can watch it on YouTube or you can listen to it on all the stuff they said. Okay. All right. I don't know where it's everywhere. But anyway, I think it's of the most utmost important that we understand what the Bible's about, which is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Amen. So in that, we have established, and go back over this, number one, Jesus is not an American. This is but an American. He's not going to be an American either. Okay? We also know that Jesus Christ did not join any religion while he walked the earth. He did not become a Pharisee, a Sadducee, part of the Sanhedrin. He didn't even become a student of Caiaphas or anything. Okay? We also determined and learned that Jesus did not come to earth to bring a different or another religion. He came and brought a kingdom. Everybody say a kingdom. So what I want to clarify today, and we're going to be in a lot of different grounds today, okay? So just kind of follow along, take good notes, a lot of notes today. So when you look at the Word of God, which we know is the 66 books canonized to what we call the Old and New Testament, the Bible, the Word of God. We look at this most of the time, be honest now, but just because you're in this series, you probably know better, but we look at this and say, well, that's a Christian religion, this is a religious Christian book. It's a religious book. It's not a religious book. Let me say that again, and don't get offended. The Bible is not a religious book. It's not. The Bible is it consists of 66 books that make up the law of a kingdom. To put it in our terms where we might understand it, it's the constitution of the heavens on earth. In other words, it gives its citizens the constitutional rights of the king. It is the will and testament of the king to his kingdom. It's not a religious book. This is your, you can take the Constitution of the United States and say, I have these certain rights because it's in the Constitution. We love our rights. We love our constitutional rights. Same thing is you go to this constitution of the kingdom of God and say, these are my rights. These are my rights. And anything that violates these rights is illegal. Amen. And cannot stand in the court of my God. So we're putting up with a lot of stuff simply because when you don't know your rights, somebody will walk on them. Amen. So get that in your crawl today. But I want to jump into this and go ahead and put up the first note this morning. There are three things that represent a kingdom. Three symbols of a king, three symbols that represent the kingdom, okay? And I'm going to try to do this as neat as I can this morning and try to keep the little tablecloth where it's all pretty. Everybody say, be careful. I'm trying to be careful. I'm trying to cooperate in the name of Jesus. There we go. All right, maybe you can see these. Whoop! Everybody say, there it goes. The first symbol, now that we get that out of the way, The first symbol of any king is what? What would you say? The crown. Now, the crown in the kingdom world represents the power of the king. Right? You see this, you know there's a person of power. The second thing that we see, and we don't see it as much, but you've seen it maybe some, and you've even seen it in some religious ceremonies, it's called a censer. A censer represents the glory of that kingdom. In our case, it would be the glory of God. Now, you will see this a lot of times in different religious service where a person will be walking out and they'll even be swinging it. And they'll have incense burning in it. It's the smoke, and smoke represents the glory of God in the house, and you fill the house with the glory. Now, from a king, he would usually have a bearer, like an armor bearer, that would go before him presenting this, means the king's glory is among you. The kingdom's here. The glory. Now, the glory and the influence means nothing more than this. It is the impact that that king has on the land and territory of his culture. So, in other words, he's establishing his influence and the glory. Now, you even hear the things, even with glory, you will hear things like the glory of Rome, the glory of Egypt, the glory of the United States, and that's our influence into the world. So that is one of the things that the king will definitely, every king has one of those. And then the third thing that represents the king and his kingdom is called the scepter. Everybody say scepter. And the scepter represents a king's authority. Now, to be properly ruling, you have to have all three. You have to have power, you have to have influence, and you have to have authority. Right? Are you with me? Okay. So now, the word authority here that represents the scepter, if you look it up, I think it's in the Eastern Bible Dictionary, it gives us this, a symbol of royal authority. So it's a royalty. Amen? And it's only available to royalty. So now, out of all three of these up here today, which one would you say is the most important of all of them? Okay, raise your hand if you think it's the crown. Okay, a few hands up there. Raise your hand if you think it's the censer. Censer? Raise your hand if you think it's the scepter. This is it. Some of y'all going, hey, we got it right. Because you were here last week and heard me tell you I was going to be preaching on the authority. Authority above everything else. Everybody say authority? Authority above everything else. Now, go ahead and put up the next note. Any king can have power and influence, but no authority. We're going to talk about that today. Because the problem is when we get this one out of order, and if we put this and this ahead of authority, and that's where we mess up with religion. Man's religion anyway, okay? Let me put it that way. Now, real quickly, we're going to be going over some stuff. Genesis chapter 49, again, right out of the gate, in the beginning of the books, chapter 49, verse 10, the Bible says the what? The scepter. Which is the authority. So the authority, the scepter of authority will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff, and all. Sometimes instead of that, in the early days, they would also have a staff, which represented the authority of a shepherd. Come on. Protect it with and have authority over them. Knock them in the head with it. Okay. Nor the ruler's staff from his descendants until the coming of the one, we know who the one is, to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor because he carries the authority. Can I have a better amen? Amen? Now, can we just go ahead? Let me just say this. When you get the scepter, everybody say the scepter. When you get the scepter, when you have the authority, you automatically get the power and the influence. But again, you can have power and influence, but no authority. Okay? I'm going to show you that in your Bible in a minute. So, y'all just want to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off right now? Go ahead and put the next note up. There are some very powerful people in the church world with no authority. Very powerful. Everybody say very powerful. Very powerful people in the church, but with no authority with it. I'm glad I'm keeping y'all's interest today. Are you with me?
Yep.
So don't be influenced or fooled by people's power. Even in the church.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm talking to the church today. Jesus Christ himself actually addressed these kind of people.
Yeah.
And to set it up, now don't go put it up yet, and we're going to go verse by verse for three verses in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, right before these verses, the context of this verse beforehand, is where Jesus is saying, beware of false prophets. They're going to look like they're part of the sheep, but they are ravenous wolves. They're sheep in wolves' clothing is the way we term it. And then he says, you're going to know people by their fruit, not just what they present. Look for the fruit.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't just look at the show. Look at the fruit. And so, and again, I hope this lights it up like it did for you, because I've read this scripture time and time again, but I've never saw it through kingdom eyes until a year or so ago. When I begin this. But when you look at the words that Jesus is fixing to read, again, we're talking about people who have power and influence, but they're not authorized.
Yeah.
But they're doing it. Now watch this. Oh man, this is so powerful. The words of Jesus Christ himself, Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21 through 23. Go ahead and put up verse 21 and leave it there. Not everyone, this is Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. So in other words, you can acknowledge he's Lord, even twice, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter what? Here you go, the kingdom. Not everyone's going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, when he says does the will, there are a lot of people doing a lot of powerful and influential stuff in God's name, but they're not authorized. And doing it in his will means you're submitted to God's will, not yours. See, that's where it all comes into play. A lot of powerful, influential people that are committed to their will, but not God's. Although it can look godly, it can sound godly, it can be a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it thereof. Now, this is what Jesus says. Now, watch the next verse. Now, watch this. The first word says many. Do you know what many means? It means a good bit, a many. That means it's going to be not just a small amount. It's going to be a lot of folks in this boat. Look at this. Many will say to me, Jesus, in that day. Now, watch this, how they approach him. They call him what? They call him Lord. You and I call him Lord. Lord, Lord, double it up. Lord, Lord, have we not, watch this now, have we not prophesied in your name? Somebody say, that's good stuff. That's powerful when you prophesy in Jesus' name. So we've prophesied in your name, Jesus. And then it goes on and says, there's something, another level of power. We've cast out demons in your name. Touch your neighbor and say, that's heavy. That's powerful. Come on, that's powerful. I mean, we're prophesying in Jesus' name. We're using Jesus' name to cast out demons. That's power, folks.
Yeah,
come on, that's power.
Yeah.
And then it says also, and we've done many wonders in your name. Everybody say wonders.
Wonders.
The word wonders there is the exact same Greek word that the Bible uses in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus tells them, go wait in Jerusalem until you receive power. The word power there is the word dunamis. It means dynamite. And it's the same word here as wonder. Have we not done dunamis things in your name? We've done powerful things, miracles, signs, and wonders in your name, Jesus. Come on, that's powerful. But look at what the Lord tells them in the very next verse. And then I will declare to them, these many people that are doing all this stuff, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. Now watch this. You who practice what? Lawlessness. Lawlessness means you did all this stuff in my name, but you were not authorized. You were illegal doing it. Now here's the thing about the power of Jesus' name. It'll work. Jesus used Balaam's donkey to speak to people. Okay? The name of Jesus and the truth of his word will work coming out of a sinner's mouth as much as it will a saint's mouth. Because God is no respecter of persons. But that does not make them legal to be doing what they're doing. And could cost them a place in heaven. Depart, I never knew you. In other words, I never authorized you to do that. You, sir, ma'am, whatever it is that's prophesying, casting out demons, you're illegal. Word of God. Come on. See, religion doesn't teach you this, does it? The kingdom declares it right out of his word. They were never authorized to use his name in that manner. So what I'm telling you is, don't get excited about when you see somebody's power. And we have a tendency to do that in church. We are drawn to the power. Are y'all okay? Don't get so excited just when you see a power play. It may be illegal. It may be illegal, according to the word of God. Now, this thing about the scepter this morning is so powerful. Even in the Old Testament, the book of Esther understood. And I want to show you that real quickly. We're not going to stay on it long. But in Esther chapter 4, verse 11, you know Esther was appointed to go in and try to save because the king had made a decree they're fixing to wipe out her people, which was all the Hebrews. And she's the only one that can get close to the king to try to get him to change his mind or issue a different decree. But watch this. Esther chapter 4, verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's providences, his territory, know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court of the king who has not been called, he has but one law, put them to death. If you come in and you're not invited, you get killed. You don't just stroll up on a king. But there is an exception. Put them to death. Except to the one the king holds out the golden scepter that he may live. And this is what Esther says, but yet I myself have not been called to go to the king these 30 days. He hasn't called for her. She can't just stroll in because she knows she's going to die too, even though she's one of his favorites. Because the rules are rules of the kingdom. So you drop down a chapter to verse 5, verses 1 and 2. Now it happened on the third day that Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's place. She didn't enter in. She stood across from the king's house while the king sat on his royal throne in his royal house facing the entrance of the house. Verse 2, so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. Then Esther went in near and touched the top of the censer. She could not go in. Why? She was not authorized to go in. She did not have the king's permission to approach him. And if she did, he would have killed her. She walked in presence there where she could be seen. And when he saw her, he says, yeah, come on in. I authorize you to come in. And of course, she was created, the Bible says, for such a time as this. And all the Hebrew nation was saved because she honored her authority. Now, another little side note, if you notice, the Bible says she come in and touched the tip of the censer. Why? Because she come and paid homage and honor to his authority before she ever spoke and asked him for anything. Now, how many's ever seen a mafia movie? Kiss the ring, my child. Kiss the ring. And that's what that is. That's coming and paying homage to the authority that that crime boss has. But that boss's ring does not trump God's scepter. Amen. Now, there's something about a person who walks in the authority of God and with the scepter of God in his and her life. And then listen to me real closely. Are you listening? Go ahead and put it up. I think this is in the notes. A person with authority doesn't have to be in your presence. You don't even have to be in their presence to get blessed by somebody who has authority. When the centurion soldier came to Jesus and said, my servant lays home dead, Jesus said, well, I'll come heal him. He says, you don't come to my house, I'm an unclean man. You just give the word from where you're at, because I recognize your authority, because I got authority. If I tell my soldier to go do this, that, come, go, they do it. You just give the word, and my servant will be healed. How could Jesus do that? He was authorized. He carried the full authority of the whole earth. What did Jesus say? All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. So right now, where is Jesus at right now? He's seated at the Father's right hand. He is not present with us physically today, but yet his authority is to and through us, because a king does not have to be present for his authority to rule and reign. He gives a word, and it's his word. It's like he's there, but he don't have to be there. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Real quickly, go over to the book of Psalms, chapter 45, verse 6. The Bible says, your throne, O God, is forever. Everybody say ever. Ever and ever. Now watch this. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your what? It's the scepter, it's the authority of your kingdom. It did not say a crown, and it did not say a censer. These, you get these when you get this. But trying to have these two without the authority is a train wreck waiting to happen. And eventually, it will happen. You can fool a lot of folks for a lot of time. And you may fool everybody until you draw your last breath. But if you were illegal, you get before God, a just God, depart, I never knew you. Nobody's going to get away without walking under authority. I don't care how powerful you seem to people. Psalm chapter 110, verse 2 and 3. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Whew. When you're in the midst of your enemies, you better be toting one of these. Sometimes a lot of you is like, man, I'm praying and it won't break off and it won't break off. And you're trying to operate in power and God's glory, but you got to get authorized. When you get authorized, when you walk in authority, the enemy has to flee at the name of Jesus. Not because you're powerful, not because you have influence, but because he sees you have authority from God himself. And that you're using it the way God told you to use it. Authority never tries to manipulate. Whew. Preach that, Jesus. Yeah, you want me to say it again? What did I say? Okay. Authority of God never tries to manipulate you and make you impressed with them. And follow them. Nobody here is a follower of me. We are following Jesus together. And that's the only way it can ever be. But there's a lot of powerful people that are very impressive with their power. Very impressive. Very impressive. Casting out demons. Impressive. Prophesying. Impressive. Having dunamis dynamite power to do signs, wonders, and miracles. Impressive. Go ahead and put up the next note. Next note, please. The devil is afraid of your power. He's not one bit scared of your power. Oh, I'm mighty man of God. Oh, I've got the anointing. He ain't afraid of that. Because he knows if it's legal or not. This may let some people down. See, you think you're all that in a bag of chips. He's not afraid of your power. If you look at Moses, when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, go to Pharaoh and command him. Let my people go. That's my best impression. Y'all have never seen the movie? Okay. Pharaoh says no. So Moses goes in there before Pharaoh, the king, and he takes his staff. And Jesus says, or God tells Moses, throw your staff on the ground. Show him your power. Moses takes his staff, throws it on the ground, and in power, that staff turns into a snake. Please don't let that happen today. You'll see me scream like a little girl, okay? I don't do snakes. Now, when Pharaoh sees the power of Moses, Pharaoh's not impressed. Pharaoh says, give me a couple of my magicians up here and tell them to bring their sticks. Pharaoh wasn't scared of that. Pharaoh saw power, but he says, so he calls two of his. They bring out two of their staffs. They throw two of their big sticks down. Those two sticks turn into snakes. And Pharaoh's looking at Moses like, so what? Everybody say, but. But listen to me. Moses just didn't come with power. He came with authority. And when Moses' authority was there, and it was, his staff that came a snake ate their snakes up. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Authority will eat power's lunch every single time. Every single time. So don't be impressed with people's power gifts. Be impressed with the authority that they submit to. Y'all okay? Whew. Go ahead and put up the next note. People who are not covered or submitted to anyone are those who only want to operate in power. I want to operate in power. I want a crown. I want people to see me. I want people to acknowledge me when I walk into the room. I want the power. Well, you got to get under and submit to authority. Well, I don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. Because see, this is the symbol everybody sees. This sometimes is laying beside the throne. It may be laying on the ground. It may not even be out. But that you can put on your head and walk around with. This is just a stick with something on the end of it usually. People want power, not authority. And the church has been sucked into that model too. So put up the next note. So today I want you to understand, never confuse power with authority and never seek after power. Always seek after, everybody say, divine authority. What kind of authority?
Divine.
Divine authority. Divine means godly. Everybody say godly. So go ahead and put up the next note. There are two types of authority in the earth. Two types. There's what we call personal authority. Everybody say personal authority. Your personal authority is you were born with gifts that you have the power to exercise. It's just your natural God-given abilities. You have authority to operate those in your own power. Some of you can build stuff. Why? Because you have the ability and knowledge and wisdom to do that. Others can sit down and you can program stuff like crazy and code. And God's given you ability through teachings and things, but you possess the knowledge and wisdom, and spiritual gifts even fall into this. Come on. Now, the second authority that we have on earth is what we call the divine authority, God authority. Everybody say God authority. God authority is what and who. Is what and who you submit to in order to operate your power gifts. Does that make sense? Now, one authority you're born with, guess which one that is? Personal authority. Your gift, you have the authority to operate. Divine authority, you have to seek out. One is naturally given to you by God, the other you have to pursue. And there again is a problem with a lot of religious things. We don't pursue authority, we lack our gifts. Are y'all okay? I do love y'all. But if you want your gift to be legal, you got to get under divine authority. Touch your neighbor and say, get you some of that. For in order for anything God blessed you with to function properly, it has to be functioning under divine authority that sees you and says, come on in. Wow. Now, the problem we have in the modern day church is most people think their gifting is enough. Oh, I can preach, praise God. Woo! I can shout and run and jump and holler. Hallelujah! Woo! I can preach. I got an anointing to preach, praise God. Or I can sing. I can hit the high note. Woo! I can sing. I can teach. I can break down the Greek into Hebrew. Look at my anointing. Come on. That's what probably two-thirds of the church operates on, is the personal authority with no divine authority to make it legal. Oh, I can do all that, but is it legal? Are you under authority? Is there a scepter pointing at you? And if you have a scepter, are you pointing it at other people to allow them access? Y'all okay? Put up the next note. The devil absolutely loves for you to leave divine authority to where you have no covering or no legal access to your power. Now notice the word, you don't have legal access to your power. You still got power, but there's no legal access to it no more. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Let's say you go up into a big city and you climb up to a very tall building and you go out on the roof of that building and you sit there, or you just stand there on the edge of the building and look out. Now some of you are going, I wouldn't get that close. Come on, how many of you like that? You ain't getting that close because it's a queasy feeling and you might fall. You know, there are people who are afraid of heights, but they have a sensation to jump when they get there. They're afraid of heights, and when they get around it, they actually want to jump. Just something in them says, try this out. Don't do that. Let me show you what I'm talking about, personal authority versus divine authority, okay? If you're standing on a tall building, let's say 50 stories up, 20 stories up, that'll splat just as good as 50. And a bird comes there and lands beside you. And the bird says, let's get off this roof, follow me. And you follow the bird, and the bird takes off this way and goes up, and you launch out. Guess one of you's going to go up, one of you's going to go down. Guess who's going down? Come on, is the bird going to go down? Are you going to go down? Why? Because the bird is authorized to fly. You're not. Come on. Let that start settling in and understanding it. The bird was created and can fly. You were created not to fly unless you're in a hollow metal tube with wings on it, running about 500 to 700 miles an hour, defying the laws of aerodynamics. And you ain't going to stay up there indefinitely either in that. If you take a fish and the fish says, come with me and swim with me the next 40 days, you can't do it. You can't go underwater. Most people can't hold their breath more than 1 to 3 minutes. Some professionals up to maybe 6, 7, 8 minutes. Most, you will drown. Why? Because you're not authorized to breathe underwater. Now, myself and a few more people in here, we're authorized to breathe underwater. I went and took a class, strapped a big old tank of air on my back, but I had to learn and go through class and submit myself to the teachings of scuba diving, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. I like to lost my authority. I had to submit to people who had authority to teach me. And when I completed their test and passed their test, written and physical test, then they authorized me to go underwater. And I got a card, and I can go anywhere in the world and present that card to show I have authority to go underwater and breathe till, at least till that tank runs out. Then I'm coming up. Dead or alive, I'm coming up. And they teach you how to do it safely. They teach you how to do it within the parameters that you'll never get hurt unless you try to break the laws of the authority that taught you and take it on your own thing. You're always supposed to come to the surface with a minimum of 500 pounds left in your tank. And I know people that has pushed it. And you're looking at one of them a couple of times because it was just so stinking pretty, I didn't want to come up. Yeah, but I thank you, Lord, for watching over foolishness sometimes. Amen? So what I'm trying to tell you is when you try to do things that you're not authorized to do, it can kill you. It has the potential to kill you and anyone who listens to you. Are y'all okay? So let me just compound on that. Don't try to imitate someone else's gift. Got too much of that going on in the religious world too. You can learn from people, absolutely. You can look like a mentor, sound like your mentor. You're supposed to do that to a certain extent. But don't try to be them. God created you uniquely to be you. And he did a real good job with you. And he'll put those mentors to teach you some things, and you can imitate some of those things, but don't try to imitate them. Y'all okay? All right, real quickly. Four principles of authority. You can take pictures or write this down. Four principles of authority. The first one is the author. It's the first part of the word authority. Author, authority. There's an author. There has to be an author to what your authority is. Your God-given author to your God-given talents, of course, is God. He gave you the ability to look like you look, to have the strength you have, to develop like you've developed, and wisdom and knowledge and acts and whatever you can do skill-wise. He's put that in your ability in you. Not everybody's created to do what you do. Thank God for that, amen? We're all uniquely different, but we're all equally the same with God. But you've got to start with any authority. You've got to start acknowledge, I didn't author my own talents. I didn't author my own salvation. I didn't author my own anointings. I didn't author my own just natural giftings. God put that in you. So you got to acknowledge that you ain't the author. There's an author above you. The next, after you get an author, here's what an author does. Go ahead, put up the next one. The author, your author has to have authority. Because when you get an author that doesn't walk in authority, it can't drip down to you. Our God has all authority. Again, let me quote to you what Jesus, I said a while ago. Jesus declared, I have all authority on heaven and earth. And then before he ascended, he says, I give you authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and snakes and all deadly things, and nothing shall by any means harm you. How can he give us all authority? Because he was the author under authority. And after, here's what author that has authority does. Put up the next one. He gives people authorization to go in his name. Another word here I really should have put up is you are authorized. A lot of people are trying to walk in power but not authority. They're not authorized. They're illegal. Turn to your neighbor and say they're illegal. They're illegal. They're not operating in their spiritual gifts under authority. So you got the author, which would be God. God has authority to give and authorize whom he may please. He authorized Jesus. Jesus authorized us. And when you don't have those three things present in your life, you are illegal. I don't care how much power and giftings and anointings you think you operate in. No. You're illegal. And here's the thing, that you don't know what the number one thing is that keeps you legal? The number one thing that keeps you with the author, who has the authority, who authorizes you, is for you to remain, put it up, authentic. You're not trying to be someone else. Again, you can learn from someone else and apply it, but you apply it to the way God made you. Whew. Most people say, I want to operate in power. I want to operate in power and influence. And the way you operate in good power and good influence, you are under divine authority. That's the only way the kingdom works. And that's why religion doesn't teach this. Because religion wants to acknowledge you got power, you got anointing, you can preach, you can sing, you can teach. That's all you need. No, it is not. You need to be submitted to authority. Divine authority. Now, this isn't going to be in your notes, but here's if you want to know the real quick definition of authority. Authority is the legal right to use your power and influence. Authority that you under gives you permission to use your power and your influence. Touch your neighbor and say, that's okay. Just because you have an anointing does not make you legal with it. Matter of fact, let me show you this in the Bible. King David, not King David at the time, but David, who was anointed to be king, served under Saul. Saul got mad at David, seeing what was going on, tried to take David out, put a hit on him, and tried to carry it out himself. So here's his spiritual father trying to kill David. Yet when David gets a chance to kill Saul, and justly so, according to man's laws, David says, I will not raise my hand against God's anointed. So David acknowledged Saul is still God's anointed. So that means Saul was anointed. But he was illegal now. Why? Because the divine authority he walked away from. Because Saul was not living in what God promised he could live in, Saul turned his back on it. Saul was living in sin. Come on. Saul was outside the God's will at that time. Come on, can I have a better amen? Come on now. Saul had power, but he lost his authority. And David had already been anointed to be the next king, to have that authority. But yet, even David in his authority that he had been anointed by the prophet on, already anointed to be king while this is going on, still says, I'm not going to raise my hand against the anointing. That's true power, is when you know how to use it and when not to use it. Oh, somebody needs to get that. Put up the last, well, no, it's not the last one, but next to the last note. The church has become so gullible. Everybody say gullible. The church has become so gullible because it's attracted to power. And it's attracted to power because it doesn't lack authority. Who are you to tell me I'm anointed? Who are you to tell me I'm gifted? I got power. I can raise the dead. I can cast out demons. I can prophesy. Remember the words of Jesus? Depart, I never knew you. You was calling me Lord. You were using my name and it was getting results. But I never authorized you because I never knew you. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church again. Have you ever had someone go to one of those services? And I love them too. Woo! Man, that was a powerful service. Man, what a word. Man, what an open heaven word. Man, what some testimonies. Wow, what a service. Altar. But what about the people that was actually leading that service? Here's some questions you want to ask. Was it legal? It looked good. Tickled my fancy. I got a goosebump. Woo! Felt the Holy Ghost. But was it legal? How do you determine if it's legal? Here's a few questions. Who's that speaker, pastor, evangelist, or whoever's giving the word? Who are they sleeping with? Come on. Who are they sleeping with? Who all are they sleeping with? That worship team, where did they spend the night at last night? That guest speaker, where was he at last night? Well, what do they drink when they're not in church? What do they smoke? What are they taking? Anybody know how they got their money? And before Sunday, where did they spend Friday, Saturday night at? Before they come into the Lord's house and jumped up on the platform or in the prayer room or in the children's room. Where were they at? Don't keep company with disqualified people. Did you hear what I said? Don't keep company with disqualified people. Pray for them. That they can be restored. But do you know how many people, ministries, ministers, platform people, children's people, classroom people, teachers, are failing God on purpose on Friday and Saturday night, but yet want to hop up on the platform on Sunday morning and say, let me give you this Jesus. And you just falling down because they look powerful. Or they got an anointing or they got a gift and you're just in love with it. I love y'all too much not to preach this message to you today. So here's probably the biggest question you're going to get today. Go ahead and put it up. Whose authority are you under? Because if you're not, you need to be. And here's the number one question with religion. I'm under the authority of God. God told me to go over here and get up in the middle of that church and cause a scene and tell everybody they're going to hell. That wasn't God, because God doesn't operate like that. God has authority structure in his kingdom. Remember, it's a kingdom. It has structure. I could tell you today, I only answer to God. Then that would make me a fool. Because God's put people on earth and given him give them the scepter that I need to look to. Who is so close into your life that has authority to speak into you that can call your spouse and your kids and ask them how you're doing? Is there anybody in your life that can check your bank account? Quiet in here. Let me ask you this one, probably the most important one. Do you have somebody in your life that when they walk up to you, somebody give me your phone? Give me your passwords. No, I'm just kidding. If somebody can walk up to you and say, hey, pastor, hey, singer, hey, teacher, hey, evangelist, hey, prophet, hey, apostle, let me see your phone and your computer right quick. What's your passwords? Anybody you got in your life like that? And if you don't, I'm going to tell you why you don't. You don't want them in there. Why do you think you got everything password protected? And I know we've got that, and you need to have that password protected, but somebody else needs to have that. And let me tell you something, if you ain't married in here today, and I'm fixing to maybe even bust somebody's bubble in here, but if your spouse, if you can't walk up to your spouse and get their phone and look through it all you want to, then you got a problem in your marriage. And let me tell you parents something, if that kid's living in your home and you're paying for that Verizon or T-Mobile bill, you walk up and say, give me my phone. That's not their phone. That's not their privacy. That's your phone. Well, boy, it got real good in here right quick, didn't it? See, this is kingdom. Who's got that permission? Who have you authorized to be in your life like that? Well, nobody. That's private. Nobody can see. Blah, 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 blah. You're full of it. You're full of it, and the it is yourself and everything that goes along with it. Thank you. Until you can get under authority, don't try to operate in authority. Until you can submit and be under authority where it can release you legally to use your giftings and your power, don't try to walk in authority. Don't want something you're not willing to be a part of. But everybody wants the crown. Just give me the crown. Give me the crown. Give me the power. Give me the scepter. And we want it. Listen to me now, and I'm going to close this. We want authority as long as we don't have to submit to authority. But if we have to submit to authority, we as soon lay that down and just pick these two up and go around and go, oh, shalom, shalom, shalom. Oh, shalom, shalom, shalom. I can speak Greek. I can speak Hebrew. Rakataba. I can roll my R's. I told y'all a few weeks ago, I can roll them R's. I can say a few Greek Hebrew words. You want to be impressed? Watch this. And I'm not speaking in tongues. Ashtash meftash no shviti klowel. Who live in mezeas velze. Hum vananze keyade. Hum velkados meltelash meashtash. Huje Yerushalam. No, Hebrew. Sounds like Russian, but it's Hebrew. Many times have I closed my eyes and dreamed of a place called heaven and how it will be, where the Lamb is the light and there'll be no more night in that fair city, Jerusalem. But, okay, don't applaud that. Applaud Jesus is King. I have the power to do that. I have the power to move this table too. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be impressed with power. Be impressed and get in and with authority. Stand to your feet. The first place you need to come under authority in order to have a life that pleases God is the authority that God has to save your life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That no man on earth can save you. You cannot save yourself. You're not authorized to save yourself. Now listen to this. There is no pastor or pulpit ministry or stage platform performance that can save your life. There's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. That's it. You don't come through a minister or a platform team or a nursery worker or a Sunday school or a children's church worker. They can be used and authorized to help get you to see, but we want you to know the author today. And none of us authored our own authority. And neither can you. So today we're asking you, are you willing today to submit yourself to realize you got to have Jesus? Not just to go to heaven, but you got to have Jesus to live down here on earth and be His ambassador and get under His authority where He will give you authority to exercise the powers, the gifting, and the influence that He has to affect His kingdom in your sphere of influence. Every one of you here have an access to people that can come to Christ through your authority of being a child of God. Every one of us. Yeah, even you. But you must surrender to Him. And then He'll put you in some places to help disciple you, to help grow you. And your power and gifting and influence will begin to multiply like crazy. And you won't have to, you'll have to do the work to do it, but to make it work outside, you don't have to worry about that. It's God. You just make yourself available. So bow your head, close your eyes real quickly. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ, and you want to make Him King and King and Lord of Lords of your life, just lift your hand. You will not join church today and you will not become religious. You'll become a child of God. Anybody need to get what we call born again and saved today by Jesus Christ? Just lift your hand high if you do. All right, maybe watching online. Well, we got one over here. All right, right back there. Yeah. 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 Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Just throw that hand up. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. Amen. But how many of you today would say, I want to be a man of or a woman of authority? And I hope everybody raises their hands because you've already got power and you've already got influence. But Lord, we need it legal. We need it working under biblical divine authority. So Lord, would you create in us a hunger for the real kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, that works through the author, that has authority, that authorizes people to be authentically in love, fanatically in love with Jesus Christ, and just become obedient to Him and His word. Father, I thank you for the many spiritual fathers that are in this place and that are going to grow up in this place, God. I thank you for the authority, God, that's going to be released to those who are seeking the kingdom divine authority in their lives. You do not hold it back. Your word declares, it is my Father's good privilege and honor to give you His kingdom. Those are your words, Jesus. So Jesus declared that His Father's looking for places to give you the fullness of His kingdom, including His authority. So Father, would you let us seek it? Would you open up the scriptures continually and just let it show itself mighty in our lives? All for your glory. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can you give Him glory in this house?
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's word, go make a difference in your world today.